I want to look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. We're going to talk about the blessings of believing. In this passage of Scripture, Paul wrote these words. He said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now, when we think about blessings of believing, we think about faith. Because it's take faith is necessary in our lives if God is to be pleased with us. Faith is essential for our lives. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer would pen these words. "Now faith is a substance. Now faith is, but without faith is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And therefore, faith is necessary to please God. Well, also, faith is necessary for us to be saved in our lives, as Jim has pointed out in our. In sermons on the book of John, let's look again to chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We see we're saved. John says about Jesus' ministry on the earth, "And many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And therefore, we're saved. We're saved by believing we can have life through the name of Jesus Christ. Faith is necessary for us to receive the blessings of believing, as we just looked at in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Faith is a necessary component in our lives. But you know there are degrees of faith. Degrees of faith such as there is little faith. Some people may have little faith. You look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. After we had seen in our text, we can have peace in believing, but also there was an incident that came with Jesus and his disciples. They was on the winds, and the sea had gotten real rough, and it was real windy, and the disciples said, "Save us, Lord, lest we perish." But Jesus said in verse 26 of Matthew 8, and he said unto them, his own disciples, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. Another degree of faith is some people may have weak faith in their lives. In Romans chapter 14, verse 1, Paul told the brethren at Rome, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." He says, "You receive this person. Receive this person. Help him that his faith would be stronger." He says, "But not to doubtful disputations," or don't be judgmental about that to that person. He says, those that are weak in faith, he says, if you're strong in faith, he says, encourage the person to be strong in faith. And then there's another degree of faith we need to look at. And those are people with a dead faith. It's an inactive faith. James talks about this in James chapter 2 and verse 26. When he says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." But we can see none of these degrees of faith will bring the blessing of believing. There are other degrees of faith, though, let's look at. There's a strong faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Paul talked about Abraham. He talked about the promise which God gave to Abraham. And he said about Abraham's response to God. He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham had strong faith and given glory to God. And since he did this, We know that Abraham's life was one of great faith, and it was one that he had the blessings of believing in God. And then we see Jesus talked about great faith in his ministry. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 again, as we just know it a bit ago in verse 26, but let's look at toward the front of that chapter. And there was an incident in Capernaum. Now, there was a centurion that came to Jesus, and he asked him to heal his servant. And his servant was sick of the palsy. He was at home. The Bible says the centurion told Jesus he was grievously tormented. Jesus agreed to come and heal him. But the centurion told Jesus that he was not worthy that Jesus would come into his house. He told Jesus, he said, I know what you can do as a son of God. I know. He said, all I need you to do is just speak the word and his servant will be healed. Well, Jesus said in response to this man, after this man had told Jesus that he was a man of authority, he gave commandments to his soldiers, to his servants, and the Bible says in verse 10 of that chapter, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily or truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And here was a man that knew what Jesus could come. Jesus could just say the word and his servant would be healed of the palsy. And that was great faith he had. But we see the other degrees of faith is an active working faith. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Paul would say to those Jews in Galatia, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith is motivated by love then. If since faith is motivated by love, he says it's not that circumcision to the Jew, he says circumcision or uncircumcision, that don't matter, but the thing that matters is your faith which works by love. Therefore, the strong faith, the great faith, the active faith, therefore, are degrees that bring a blessing to people's lives. Let's look at some of the blessings of believing, see what the characteristics are of believing. And number one, there is joy in believing, as we looked at Romans 15 and verse 13. There's joy in believing. God wants people to be joyful. God wants believers of His to be joyful in their lives. For instance, in Acts chapter 8 in verse 39, we see Philip and the eunuch. Philip had gone up in the chariot and was teaching the eunuch about Jesus from the book of Isaiah. And the Bible says in verse 39, and when they, Philip and the eunuch, were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know that the eunuch had a better quality of life when he left Philip. Because he left Philip and went on his way rejoicing back home. Because he had been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A former president of Harvard once said, the world is looking for a creed to believe in and a song to sing. Also, we often sing the song, O happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Can you remember the day that you were baptized or the night that you were baptized? And how good you felt. How good you felt that you got rid of your sins. You got rid, and that was the happiest time of your life. And you can still retain that happiness. But in spite of dependency of the world and the despondency of the world, we see people in our time try to escape from reality, such as young people use drugs, older people use alcohol to try to escape. But God's people can face reality with God's help. He can with God's help. So there is joy in believing. There is joy in the people of God to be like that man, that eunuch, but went on his way rejoicing. We can leave this building tonight rejoicing because we're his people. In the second place, from Romans 15:13, there's peace in believing. We can have peace. All people want peace today. Peace is a commodity that people are looking for every day of their lives. They have problems, they have trials, tribulations, but we can have peace in believing. Fear is the enemy of peace. Real peace. Fear is a real enemy of the peace which we are looking for. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible records this. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." First thing the angel said to Joseph on that occasion, he said what? Fear not. Look at another passage. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Now, this is a different group of people. The angel said unto the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The first thing that the angel said to those shepherds was what? Fear not. We looked at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, and now we conclude that what Jesus said was fear comes from having little faith. What he told his disciples, "O ye of little faith," is what he told them. Another enemy of peace is frustration. People get frustrated in their lives. It's a real enemy of peace in our time, is frustration. Because people don't have an active, strong faith. There's a song entitled, we don't sing it much, I know Jim probably knows it, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind." And in that song, this beautiful hymn has this plea: "Take from our souls the strain and stress. Take from our souls the strain and stress of our lives and replace that with peace in believing." Because you know, when we have the true peace in believing, we know that God will take care of his people. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Paul had this confidence in God, and he says, "And we know that all things work together for good." Now, everything's going to work out all right, said Paul, for good. "To them that love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose." See, there's something we have to do. Love God, and to them are called according to his purpose. And then we'll know that God takes care of his own. God will not forsake his people either. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 25. David wrote this psalm in the older years of his life. And he said, "I have been young, but now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, and that annoyed seed begging bread." He said, I haven't seen where God forsakes his people. And God doesn't forsake his people. Like the church marquee read one time, said, "If you're not as close to God as you once was, who moved?" Well, you did. So therefore, God doesn't forsake you. We can forsake God. But we can see through all of this that there's hope in believing, and we can have real peace in our lives. Number three, there is not only peace, there is hope in believing too. Again, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Hope is an expectation of a better things to come, has a power to enable God's people to be eternally saved. Hope does. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. See, Paul told those people how we're saved. He says, well, we're saved by hope, expecting something better in the future. But hope that is not seen is not hope. He said, if you see it, it ceases to be hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? He said, if you see the results of something, you can't hope for it or expect it. The expectation of heaven is what we're looking for. The expectation of the hope of believing in heaven that we will one day occupy one of those mansions where Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Hope anchors the soul. Hope is our anchor. Hope is our, keeps us anchored to God. So we can stand in the storms of life, in the storm that everything that the devil throws at us. Everything the devil throws at us. No matter what. We can have this hope of the soul, and it keeps us close to God. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, the writer would say, which hope, we have an anchor of the soul. We have something we can anchor our soul down with. He said, both sure and steadfast. It's sure, it's not going to move. It's steadfast, it's going to be there all the time. He says, which entereth in that within the veil. This hope is something great that we can have. The hope in God, in His Son, in the Word of God, that we can anchor our souls in the words of Jesus, in the words of God. That we can have the joy and the peace and the hope which can be produced in our lives. Hope enables us to see the unseen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul would say, for we know, see, there's the word know again. Paul uses that. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. He said, we know that we're going to die one day, but what's that beyond death? He said, we can have an eternal building. And it's not made with men's hands, it's a building of God. And it's called eternal life. It's called heaven in our lives. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for this hope. We're looking for this unseen. We see through the eye of faith the unseen in the Word of God. Now, without faith, we can't have this hope. W.E. Vine, in his Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, defined hope. He said, hope describes the happy anticipation of good. When we anticipate something better, which is heaven. But you know, if we don't have any faith, and that can mean we can't have any hope. And if we don't have any hope, then we're miserable. But the Bible teaches us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the great chapter on faith. The writer would say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the basis in which we have to hope for eternal life. He says, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it right now, but you will see it in time. You will see it after the judgment. You will see heaven. If you're faithful in this life, then you will be rewarded at the judgment, eternal life. So there are blessings in believing. There are blessings in believing Christ. There are blessings in believing God. There are blessings in believing in His Word. But there are also consequences of unbelief. And Jesus talked about the little faith, we talked about weak faith, we talked about dead faith. And if you have any of those, if you, a person don't even believe, there are consequences. One will have to suffer at the end of time. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the writer would say to the Christians of his day, take heed, brethren. He said, I want to warn you, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He says, you can depart from God. Unbelief is evil. He calls it an evil heart of unbelief in departing from God. Because the person that does not believe, that he will not receive the blessings of believing, and his unbelief, and by his unbelief, refuses to accept God's testimony of his Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. John talked about this. He said, "He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because this individual," he said, "believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Now, you don't want to be in that category of people. You don't want to be in the group that's unbelievers. You want to be believers that you have the blessings of believing. So we have reason to believe in God's word tonight. We have, because Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, a passage we all know, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And blessings are available to you and to me if we believe. If we believe about joy, if we believe about peace, if we believe about hope. You can have these blessings of believing tonight. The invitation has been opened. It's the invitation of Jesus Christ that he wants you to be a believer of his word. He wants you to be a believer of and have a strong, active faith. Never obeyed the gospel? We encourage you to do that tonight. Because accept this opportunity that you've heard the word. Now you believe the word. Now you're ready to repent of your sins. You're ready to confess the name of Christ and to be baptized for remission of sins, that you will be, as an Ethiopian eunuch, you can go on your way rejoicing. But tonight, you may be a child of God and you see that your faith is not strong. Your faith, it may be otherwise. Sin may have gotten in your life, and you don't have this joy and peace and hope that you once had. Well, you can get rid of these sins tonight. You go on your way rejoicing. You can leave this building rejoicing. And knowing that if Jesus comes tonight, you'll be ready. You'll be ready for the coming of Jesus, and you'll be ready for judgment, and then ultimately you'll be ready to inherit eternal life. As Jim leads us in this song, "Just As I Am," that's all Jesus wants you to do. Come just as you are. If you need to respond, we encourage you to do so now as together we stand and sing.